Where do you go when you die? Well, that's a pretty metaphysical question, I must say. These are dream fights, technically, because I'm in the god home, which is... it's in the bloody astral plane or something, so... but yeah, it's in a dream realm. It's in a realm you go when you go to sleep. Technically die in these, I just wake up from the fight. Where do you go when you die in real life? Does anybody know? That's the question. There was apparently some kind of a bloody, like, CIA experiment or something that was done. They figured out some sort of technology to be able to hack into the brain's visual cortex when you're asleep. Well, at any point in time, so they effectively could record what the visual cortex was displaying, so they could actually see what people were seeing, and they could record it. And so they had someone do that when, they were sleeping. This is like a massive conspiracy theory. Then he learned how to astral project, so he could just like bloody send his soul wherever. They sent him out to try and spy on people. He tried to spy on somebody, because it was supposed to be like a non-detectable camera is what it was supposed to be, that was operated by a single person. So it's like you transmit the data of somebody who's astral projecting back into it's going to be showing up in their visual cortex still, but you transmit that data, you know, plug a capture card into the bloody brain and then see that. And then you can fly around wherever you want and you can see things and record things. This is like this massive pipe dream of an idea, like absolutely fascinating stuff if it were actually real. It's a big if true moment, because then it would mean that that technology was being hidden from us. Yeah, hidden from us by the bloody US government, but apparently, allegedly, this guy died during some sort of an incident that had happened, that the footage fed back to them, and because he died, you'd expect there would be no footage, but there was footage, and it was actual footage of heaven. There you go, there's a conspiracy theory for you. Do you think that we go somewhere when we die, or do we just? I don't know. And I don't know if believing something about that would change anything, and so I don't think you necessarily can believe that. I suppose the only thing that I do believe is that I don't know. I suppose that's the answer, and that might be like a cryptic and vague and frustrating answer, but... so we're on the same boat as me, as in, I don't know. Yeah, basically, it's a decent boat to be in, because it means there's nothing to be alarmed about. Like, if heaven does exist, then obviously it would be something that everybody would want to get to. And obviously we would want to know how to get there. I think the only way that we can posit that it is possible to get there is by living the best life that we can. And so it really doesn't answer any questions. It's like, well, now we're stuck on the same problem we started on, which is... what is living the best life that we can? And I think, you know, it's integrating your shadow. It's uniting all of the sub-personalities that we know that we've got. The psychoanalysts helped us come to that conclusion. Becoming one, in a way. I think the Buddhists have a pretty decent... well, mostly. I think the Buddhists who do, like, living mummification are... pretty off. I think the Buddhists have some good ideas about that. I think the Christians have a decent idea about that. The Jews have a decent idea about that. Obviously, all of those people can get off at a certain point or another, but won't we all? I think it's, you know, the quest for meaning in a way. And if you can figure out what meaning, how meaning can manifest itself in yourself, then you want to reach that sort of level of enlightenment. I think that's like the only way to kind of get there, and you can only really get there by uniting yourself in a way. I don't think you can be, you know, I don't know, hateful or out of order or, you know, imperfect in any way in order to get to whatever heaven would theoretically be. It's like you've got to be really figured out. The only kind of thing that says about the best life that you can live is figure out what truly is making you whole. And it's not just being removed from adversity, I suppose. Like, it's being removed from imperfection more so. Imperfection in yourself, because you can't guarantee it in others, I suppose. Big bloody confusing question, isn't it? It's the question, isn't it? I think the correct answer to any of that any question of that caliber, perhaps, should always begin with, I don't bloody well know, do I? I better have a decent guess at it. I think the only thing that you can really say as a relatively well put together person is that whatever happens when you die is going to be good. It's going to be better for you than even whatever the greatest thing that was for you in life, you know? Do you think that any Bibler 100% believes in heaven? Operating off of the same definition of believe in the sense that it means that you must therefore act it out, I don't think they do. I think anybody, if they could truly believe in heaven, I don't think they would ever sin again. And, you know, sin sort of being the definition of the archery term to miss your mark. It's like you would never mess up on anything ever again. And I don't think in that sense it's, perhaps it's possible, but it's not plausible to believe in heaven. I think what can be said of the vast majority of Biblers is that they want to believe in heaven. They hope it to be true. Therefore, they do attempt to be as good as they can manage, I suppose. I don't know, but yeah, you know, people who believe in the Bible or, you know, whatever form of scripture that actually does posit a heaven, they want to believe that a heaven exists. I don't know, it's hard to bring about. When it comes to whatever the state of being that is heaven, I think it's possible to exist, but it's very difficult to get to because the natural state of life, the natural state of being is hell. And I want to believe in heaven, but I sure as hell believe in hell because I've seen it and I've been there before, you know, like anybody who's really been through the ringer has been there before, and it has infinite depth. It can go infinitely down, but there's no infinite down without an infinite up. So I do think that heaven does theoretically exist. It's just a lot easier to attain hell than heaven. I mean, if you really want to put yourself in hell, you could set fire right now, you know, like you could put yourself in hell right now willingly. You could go out and threaten people. You could, like, it's really, really easy to immediately put yourself in hell. Slap a loved one across the face and you'll see what hell you will bring about, you know. It's like I certainly believe in hell, and it's easier to believe in hell because it's easier to see, but perhaps I don't believe in it in a literalistic sense. In a archetypical sense, I certainly believe in it. That's for sure. But I don't know. I generally don't like literalistic things in general, but heaven is something that we want to be able to try to bring about, and it takes a lot more work and effort to bring about than hell. It actually doesn't. I mean, you can dig really deep into hell if you put a lot of work into that. It's easy to fall face first into the ground, right? It's much more difficult to fly. The natural state of things is to be down. It's difficult to be up. So I guess that's kind of the way that I put it. Like, I was thinking about this, if anybody truly believed in heaven, and especially if they believed that the heaven that they could get to was infinitely better, then they would not be doing plenty of the things that they do. And so it's like, you know, I can't really say that I believe in heaven in that sense then, truly. If I believed in heaven, or more specifically, if I believed in God, then it's like I would never do any of the things that I know that I shouldn't. I know that I shouldn't be doing that, but I still end up doing it. Why is that, right? I think this is something that everybody can kind of relate to in a sense. If you truly believe that there was that place to get to, you would drop absolutely everything in your life that distracts you, that you find pleasurable in the here and the now, and you would never touch it. You'd never pick it up again. You know, you'd just be gone. It's like, no, I'm out of here. That's pointless. I've got places to be, you know? I would be terrified to screw up again, to the degree that perhaps I would never do it again. Or perhaps I would spend a really long time meditating, and I suppose that's sort of what prayer is, in a sense, is asking, you know, lay bare all of my flaws so that I may remedy them. You know, it's like you probably would do that, and you could probably do that for the rest of eternity, and you might die doing so. I don't know, but you, once you emerge from that, you're going to be a lot better equipped to bring about some sort of a Garden of Eden about yourself. And you know, that's what we all kind of strive for in a way. I think we want to believe. If we truly did, we'd get our act together. I suppose is the best way that I could put that. I think the concept of heaven is boring, and more boring than just not existing anymore. That's an interesting way to put it. The idea of a paradise, I suppose you're saying, like, the idea of a paradise, of a perfect place where there is no no imperfection, nothing to learn, nothing to do, nothing to enrich yourself with, it seems boring. I think I would agree with that if that's what you mean. We need constant progression, or at least we are built in the way that requires constant progression. And if you don't have it, then you will really quickly will degenerate into being, in the very least, depressed, at the very most, straight up genocidal. You know, like if you just sit there doing nothing for long enough and it's like, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything, I'm serving no purpose. I think we need purpose, and we need to, you know, turn chaos into order in order to have that sort of a purpose. You know, if it's just nothing but order, then I think that idea would certainly be boring, because there's no progression from there. But I think in the sense that heaven is an incomprehensible good, it is literally all that is good. I don't think boring even factors into that necessarily, because is there anything to do? It's like, well, there's everything. And who cares about doing at that point? Because there is no need for doing. There's just everything. I don't know. Maybe it's just a little too, it's tough to comprehend. So we want to become literalistic about it. But I don't necessarily think that is the question that's a question that we truly want to ask, is what is heaven truly like? If you could begin to comprehend perhaps a fraction of what that would be, then perhaps you would never want to be on this earth ever again. You'd be like, no, I'm meant to be eternal. I'm not meant to be temporal. I kind of hate the temporal world now. I feel like I've kind of been that way in my entire life to a degree, not in a depressing sense, but just in the sense of like, I don't like time and the passage thereof. I don't like that. I don't like being a temporal being. I've always kind of felt as though I'm supposed to belong somewhere else, I suppose. Not existing anymore, if anything like that would be, I don't know, again, boring doesn't really factor into that, because if you don't exist, then there is nothing to be bored about. Being bored is what happens when you aren't confronting some form of chaos and turning it into order, when you're not learning something or other, when you're not doing something or other, when you're not achieving anything, when you are staying in the same place for any given moment in time. It's like, no, this is boring. I'm not doing anything. Nothing's going on. Whereas when you don't exist, there's no need to know. No, there's no ability to know that. There's no way for you to even categorize what is or isn't boring. In the same way that if there was no life on Earth, it would just be a rock. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, I suppose you could call that really boring, but you could also see that there's a lot of potential in that, in the sense that it represents a lot of chaos to turn into order. It's like, I could do a hell of a lot with an entire planet's worth of literal space to do, you know, to play with. It's like, I could do a whole lot with that. I just don't exist anymore. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem possible. So in a metaphysical sense, this is metaphysics here. So bear with me. This is pretty intense, philosophical waters we're about to tread into, and maybe I'll keep it as short as I possibly can, but you've got you, and you know that you are a collection of sub-personalities that are all kind of they wish to be in order, and they wish to have all of their needs met. So there's this sort of rageful aspect, and there's this sort of worrying aspect, and there's the fear, and all of these biological systems that are united into one to bring about consciousness. And consciousness in a evolutionary biological sense is at least what your species has put together to be able to figure out what to worry about the future. And you remember the bad things that happened before and the good things that will happen in the future. Or, I don't know, you have a vision for what the way you want things to be, and you change that. You know, that's sort of what consciousness is. But, you know, if consciousness exists, then it must therefore be something corporeal that exists in some sort of a sense, rather than just because we know that no matter can be created nor destroyed. So how is it possible that you could come into being as something that can think, and something that can see, and something that can dream, and something that can do all of the things that you do, the near infinite amount of possibility, of potential that you are? How could it be possible that you could fade into nothing once the physical form of you, you know, departs from this earth? I don't think that is possible. And I don't think that it's possible for us to be conscious without us being something more than just the body that we inhabit. Because if it was just the body, well, I don't know, you destroy the body and you disintegrate everything, and whatever that body did before, it can't do again anymore, because it's gone, it's disintegrated, it's back to the dust from whence it came. It's like, well, okay, that makes sense. If we were just machines, then there would not be any consciousness there. I don't think consciousness is an illusion. I think consciousness is what we are. I think information is what we are. I think information is what life is. Where there is information, there is someone or something to communicate that information. I don't see that as some sort of a sort of negotiable thing that can just be like conjured up and disappeared at whim. I see that as matter. I think that's all that matter really exists to be, is information. Because without information, without consciousness to actually see it, then effectively the matter itself does not effectively exist. So I don't think that it is possible for you to cease existing. I think you certainly cease existing on the plane of existence that we see, but I think there are wavelengths. You know, they exist on different wavelengths. Bloody Mandela catalog. I think there are different dimensional structures that we reside within, that, and there are things that we don't see that we only can see the effects of, and we can only interact with offhandedly or indirectly. But just because that we can't touch them doesn't mean that they're not there, because the effects thereof are implicit in everything around us. Actually, I think they're explicit in everything around that's around us. So I think it's a physical corporeal thing that exists beyond what we can actually see and perceive and comprehend to a degree, but we still have a notion for how it functions and why it exists, or at least what we do as a result of that. We have an intrinsic sense of how there is that sort of spark of divinity. You know, it's like every living thing effectively. What I'm talking about is the soul. It is something that is corporeal. It is something that is physical. The only evidence that I have that is the case is that we behave as though that is the case. And there's no getting around that. What the soul is it's the information of everything that makes up who we are in a metaphysical sense, and we have to behave in the sense as though that exists. Because if we don't, we don't behave deterministically. I think actually the design of us is in order to behave deterministically, but we can't treat ourselves as though we are just matter that's just roaming around, just some meatball that doesn't have any sort of a free will. It's like you have to treat it that way. It's rough, but if you were nothing, you wouldn't think. Therefore, you are something. And if you are something, then you cannot be destroyed and turned to nothing. I don't think it's possible for whatever it is that is what we are beyond the physical nature of what we are, you know, in this plane of existence. I don't think that it is at all feasible, that at all plausible to posit that whatever that may be ceases to exist when the physical form of us ceases to exist. I don't think that is possible in any sort of a meaningful way. And if it were possible, then I think that would be a hell of a lot more boring than the fact that there is another frontier out there where there are things beyond our capability, beyond our imagination, beyond our wildest dreams, beyond our comprehension to be able to see and to interact with. Like, I think that's a hell of a lot more, obviously chaotic, but a hell of a lot less boring than there just being nothing afterwards. So if we're talking about whether or not it's boring, it's like, well, infinite, thinking that there is something out there, whether or not it's heaven in whatever sense that we want to say, but that there's something that happens afterwards is certainly less boring than there being nothing. Because if there's nothing, then that obviously is going to be more boring than there being something. It's like I put on the TV and I show you, hey, I'm going to show you this movie that I made, and it's just 2 hours of black screen. It's like that is boring. There's nothing to do there. There is nothing there. There's nothing for me to do with that. There's nothing bouncing off my brain here. But if I actually throw up something that I actually did make, or that someone else makes, an actual story, in the very least visuals, something, or maybe something that is so chaotic and so incredible, and so, like, maybe it's like some sort of a horror. I don't know, it's a recording of somebody's bad psychedelic trip. Like, it's like, that's a lot of chaos, but it sure as hell isn't boring in comparison to literally just 2 hours of black screen, or an infinity of black screen. So, you know, having an infinity of hell to follow after life is surely going to be less boring. I don't think it's going to be preferable, obviously, but yeah, if we're talking about boring or not boring, I think the idea of something is less boring than nothing, because nothing is kind of by definition boring. But maybe it makes life a little more interesting if you think that there is nothing afterwards. I don't know. I suppose this kind of gets along to what they talk about in Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. I think I didn't rate that movie quite as high as I should have, because it's actually pretty bloody magnificent. But that's what they talk about. It's just like, you know, there's two types of people. There's people who believe that there is meaning, and there are people who believe that there is no meaning. I think we have to believe that there is meaning, even if it's hard to see, because if we give up on any sort of a semblance of meaning, then, you know, that's why people ask, what's the point? What does it mean? It's like, what's the purpose? You know, what's the takeaway here? And it's like, if life is pointless, then there's no point in having it, you know? You know, so if there's no meaning, then there's no point, and we may as well just give up right now. I don't know. I don't think that that is something that we should embrace. I think we should embrace that there is meaning in the very least. And, you know, if we can find that there's meaning, then I think if there is meaning, then there therefore must be something beyond the temporal realm. That was about 20 minutes, I think, of rambling on that question. But yeah, anyhow, I ought to be getting along. It's hot enough in here, and I really ought to go to sleep so I can go to work in the morning. So I shall bid you adieu, but that was a fun stream.